The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, yeah. And what a great celebration we have today, a celebration, the Feast of All Saints. And, you know, we're celebrating then not only the saints that we know are in now, enjoying the glory of God, gathered to God himself, who exists as our intercessors, right? The well-known saints, you know, our patrons and the rest. But in fact, all those who dwell in the heavenly realm, as it were, those who are themselves gathered to God, whose names perhaps we do not know, perhaps even relatives of ours. Yeah, believe it or not. Yeah, relatives. We certainly have to have hope that a great many people before us and people that we know are dwelling in eternal glory. You know, if not for anything else than to give ourselves a little modicum of hope that we too will get there one day. This is the challenge, though, for us, is that so much of the discussion around, say, the things of heaven or the realm of heaven just makes it seem like a distant reality. Yeah, it's far off. I hope to get there one day, but it doesn't have very much to do with me right now. This is not at all the way that the saints would address the question. Yes, saints, the saints that we recognize and honor and rest, even the ones we don't, the saints were saints here and now. Right? They were saints as they lived. And this is a challenge. This then is a challenge for us. Of course, yes, okay, fine. Purgatory. Yeah, some of us are just gonna have to hope that we make it in, you know, by the skin of our teeth. Yeah, but okay, I get it. Inasmuch as we're saints now, we're prepared for the eternity of God and the heavenly realm. But let's look at this, right? Jesus closes his passage. Yeah, we've got the Beatitudes, the very start of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. Read the Sermon on the Mount. If you want to be a saint, read the Sermon on the Mount. The saints are Sermon on the Mount people, okay? He says here at the end, "Your reward will be great in heaven." Jesus is not promoting, say, a religion of delayed gratification. That's not the point. The point is that if we live in accord with the charter that Jesus gives us, if we participate in Jesus' own life that brings this world-changing reality to bear here and now, then we will be rich in the things of heaven here and now. This is the point. Your reward will be great in heaven. You have great heavenly reward now, right? It's like you've opened up your bank account, your heavenly bank account, and you're not only accruing interest I don't want to get too far into that. Okay, but you've opened up your heavenly bank account. It's growing. It's swelling as a result of your trusting and following Jesus in this world-changing reality of the church that he's breathing to life, right? He's creating a people to turn the world upside down and inside out. And we do that by living according to the power of love and the intention of self-giving, right? How many of these other things, right? We say, "Blessed are the peacemakers," in a land, you know, in a time where everybody's a warmonger, right? This is upside down thinking, right? For us, it's no more power, right? More power, crush our enemies, we'll get it done, right? That's how the world is changed. No, the world is changed by peacemakers. The world is changed by the meek. Yeah, the world is changed by those who mourn. We mourn the current state of affairs, right? All the rest, okay. 3 points. I know, that was one, but you know what I mean? It's like, okay. 3 points for you today. The first is this. The saints are perfect. We celebrate today in the company of the saints. So we have the encouragement of the saints, their example, right? We follow their lead, their powerful intercessors for us. We today, here in the liturgy especially, we're joining in the party, right? You can imagine the great joy of the saints, okay? The party and the rest. This is for us. Want to celebrate with them and see in them the example that lends us courage. Okay, that was point one. Point two is the saints are perfect in charity. This is right from the catechism. The saints are perfect in charity. So if we want to be saints, we want to seek the perfection of charity. And by charity, I mean caritas. Yeah, it's love. Love of God, just as we had this past weekend, love of God and neighbor as self. So we are made to be self-giving. We give ourselves entirely to God in praise. We pour ourselves entirely out in his service for our neighbor, for his beloved world. So the saints, the perfection of the saints is charity. Okay, so, and we who are saints now are seeking the perfection of charity now. Okay, that was point two. I know I'm going a lot quicker than you thought, right? That's charity, you know. Okay, maybe it is. Maybe I just want you to get lunch, you know. It's like, so that would be charity as well, I think. Anyway, so point three is this. We, in and of ourselves, don't have what we need to be perfected in charity. So we draw close to Jesus in the sacrament of the altar, which is not only, say, the expression of perfect divine charity, it enables and animates and sustains the life of charity, the whole body of Christ. Every saint is a Eucharistic saint, right? Every saint is a saint that pours himself, herself out in thanksgiving to God. That's what's happening on the altar here, the representation of the Good Friday sacrifice of Christ Jesus, the perfect praise of the Son to the Father that we join in with so that our praise also is perfected. Our love for God is perfected. And then we're made fit by offering that sacrifice to receive God's own life of love made flesh for us in the Eucharist so that we can then embody God's life of love, his own charity, his own radical generosity for the world. Yeah, so it's not on our strength. It's not on us, right? In terms of we're so wise, we're so smart, we're so what? Let it go. Here we just come to participate in the life of Christ and to be animated by his life so that in his prayer, we can pray. And in his love, we can love. And we commit ourselves to that generous offering of self after the example of all the saints. We participate in the Eucharist fruitfully after the example of all the saints. And we get out into the world to transform it in the power of love, just like, again, all the saints.